there were reporters from all over England and all over the world that were doing live hits after the game from pubs around England. This is going to come off as kind of blaming the victim, but it's not.
Okay.
But people are kind of, there's video out there of you know, idiots, hooligans that are all boozed up, snapping about the game, that are basically abusing the reporters that are in the building. But whoever sent the reporters there, what were you thinking was going to happen? You know, like, I'm not condoning that kind of activity. No. I'm just saying, smarten up and realize that it's going to happen.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think when you're going to put people in a situation where there's going to be intoxicated people who might be angry about the result of the match, they're going to lash out.
Yes.
And that's unfortunately part of it. I was caught up in 98 in an English soccer riot in Marseille. There was,
That'd be terrifying.
It was astonishing. Like, just horrifying. Like, police dogs attacking people, people attacking the police dogs. Like, it was awful. But I will say that the alcohol, you know, the fueling of alcohol and the lack
it changes everything.
And the lack of control over it, right?
Well, exactly. And you feel like, you know, it's your bar, it's your pub, what's this guy doing in here? What's this
and
girl
I'm
doing
mad
in here?
Lost
I'm it. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not condoning the stupidity. No. What I'm saying is stupidity is inevitable. It's gonna happen.
I wouldn't do a hit in a bar unless I had security.
Me too. Yeah. Here's ESPN soccer analyst and longtime international player himself. Here's Yanis Mihalik back on Overdrive. How you doing, Yanis?
I am doing well. How are you boys? You guys are talking about hooliganism.
Yes.
Well, a little bit. I think it's unfortunate, Yanis, that we end up talking about that because this has been an extraordinary World Cup. Maybe the best I've seen.
Yeah. I'm still undecided. 1982 was perhaps maybe a little bit better. I'm biased because Poland came in third in that one. But anyway, look, I mean, the World Cup has been outstanding. No troubles in Russia, which I was sure of. And remember, 2 years ago in the European Championships, the Russian hooligans were in France, and remember all those scenes, right? But, of course, and it's on their own soil, you know, the Russian government made sure that none of that happened, which is obviously, to me, not a big surprise. But anyway, it's been a great, great World Cup. It really has been.
What's the reaction like when you come out of a stadium after you've played a game? Are you made aware of this, that like all hell is broken loose outside on the streets? Does security come to you and let you know, or do you just like get in your car or walk out onto the bus and it just kind of hits you like a wall?
Yeah, I think in this situation it does. I mean, obviously security, not just from the organizers, but each country, each team has their own. I think, you know, I mean, it hasn't been all that bad, you know, in comparison to, you know, when I was younger, when I was growing up. It's getting better. I've listened to your conversation, and you guys are right. I mean, you know, alcohol is one thing, but, you know, the incredible passion that's, you know, let's be honest, it's very, very hard to understand, you know, here in the United States and in Canada as well. You know, I was up there doing some World Cup with Luke and Steve, you know, all those guys. I think they understand it, but still for the masses here that just view the game maybe every 4 years and you know, watch, you know, baseball, hockey, football, it's very difficult to understand that. I'm not saying that there isn't passion up in Canada, say, about hockey, but it's different because it is nationalistic. You know, you're talking about history, you're talking about politics, you're talking about, you know, I mean, you know, if Poland were to play Russia or Germany, you know before the game what that means, right?
Right.
I mean, it's never mind the sport, but it's till this day I'm somehow conditioned not to like them. And yet I have so many friends, of course, you know, it's history. But when it comes to the sport, you know, somebody was asking me the other day, you know, when I was watching, I think it was Russia-Spain, you know, who are you rooting for? And I just give him a stare. I said, you can't be serious with that question, right? Because it goes ways back, and it has nothing to do with the present time. As you know, it has to do with that conditioning that, you know, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I live in America now. How much do I truly care about all that? But that's what happens, I think, and it's important to remember that.
Yes, Harry Kane with the miss, off the goalpost, off the defender. If he puts that in, is England playing on Sunday?
No questions about that. I mean, look, we've talked about England, and this is the difficult situation because the expectations were not high by English standards, right? I mean, right. The fans, and most importantly, the press. have been different. And yet, this is an unbelievable opportunity missed for England. I would tell you that I don't think they're going to have that chance for another 20, 30 years, if not more. It's not going to happen where they're going to be like that, where England are going to have this sort of run, right? Because, I mean, it wasn't a big ask. They didn't really play against the giants of football to get to where they were. They played well. You can only play what's in front of you, right? So you know, I have no problem with that. But they had Croatia underneath. They really did. And, you know, it's funny now because Luka Modric and everybody's coming out, well, we play, you know, everybody thought we're going to be tired and all that. And you know, and they were tired. The reason they played like that is because it was a second lease on life. England gave them that opportunity to come back in a game, and, you know, the adrenaline and everything else, you know, that sort of momentum where you think you're out of it, you score, you go, and you don't really know how you're doing, but you're doing it. And on top of that, Croatia, of course, has the quality as well. So if England puts a second goal in the first half or anywhere in the second half, I think it's over. Because for me, I was looking at some key Croatian players, and as we call it, they were running on their knees.
With Giannis Mihalik, ESPN soccer analyst, we're well aware of who's now in the World Cup final. Sunday morning, 11 a.m. right here on TSN Radio. Watch it on CTV. It's France taking on Croatia. And, you know, Croatia, I don't think, has gotten any respect really throughout the tournament. And immediately after they just dismantled England in the second half and into extra time, and they deserved to win. They were the better team yesterday. Mm-hmm. Immediately people are like, oh, they're huge underdogs against France. They got no shot against the French. Is that fair? I mean, is that a reality? Or shouldn't Croatia, by this point, they're in the final, shouldn't we respect them a little bit more than we have been?
Oh, I think everybody does respect them. It's going to be a similar situation. I think if France gives Croatia life, I think you're going to have that Cinderella story, right? I mean, you know, for years we've talked about, I think Croatia has been respected by many. Just for years we were, calling them the dark horse, right? It's sort of a, their golden generation, it's like Belgium, right? We've been waiting. I mean, they've had a decent tournament. You're always aware of Croatia. You always feel that maybe they lack that, you know, a little bit of mentality to do it. Well, they certainly show character and mentality. Three games going into extra time, two of them into penalties. But that piles on. And I'm afraid to say that they're tired because look what happened. You know, I said that before the English game, but they are. I mean, if France does what they can do and early on make sure that they put them away, then there'll be no coming back for Croatia because all that's going to pile on. They're just going to run out of reserves. But again, France have not been at their best. Glimpses we've seen, you know, here and there, you can see how powerful they are. But you know, when you have the likes of Giroud and Mbappe, who's absolutely outstanding, and Kante. Well, I'm to be honest with you guys, I'm just looking against N'Golo Kante against Luka Modric. These two guys are indestructible. They can run for 3 days and three nights, and still ask for more. I mean, that duo is going to be incredible to watch. But sure, Croatia has a chance. If France gives it to them.
Now, I will say this. I had a chance in 98 to cover the World Cup, and Didier Deschamps was a delight to talk to. He got a rough ride before this World Cup, right? I mean, about his selections, his demeanor, you name it. Does he have the right now to start pointing the finger back, and no matter what happens, and say, enough out of you?
Not yet. Not until he wins it. No. Look, I mean, they lost in the last European 2 years ago in European Championships. I think some of that will be forgotten, but let's not forget. I mean, he's a very pragmatic coach. He coaches the way he plays. If you remember, he was a no-nonsense captain of that team. Not necessarily technical, but sort of like, you know, the Luka Modric and N'Golo Kante on his team, right? Hard-working midfielder. But as you've mentioned, I mean, he left so much talent at home. I mean, they can put three teams in a World Cup and do well, right? He's got a talented team that everyone wants to play. To, you know, everybody's talking to Deschamps saying, kind of, you know, take the shackles off, let him loose, let him play. And throughout the tournament, he hasn't really done it. But if in the end France are World Cup champions, nobody's going to ask those questions. If they don't, he will resign or get fired the next day, and we'll all be talking about. You know, why didn't Didier Deschamps allow all this talent to play a little bit more expensively?
enjoy the final couple of games and the final on Sunday. It has been a wild ride, and I'm sure we'll bug you and catch up with you again down the road. Thank you for this.
I'd love to do it. Thank you very much, guys.
There's a Janis Mihalik, longtime player himself, international, yeah, and current ESPN soccer analyst.
It's too bad, as someone who loves the game, and I do, I love soccer, that Canada and the United States aren't there. It's too bad that more people aren't being exposed. Now, a lot of Canadians are watching this, and so it's not as much of an issue here. In the United States, the World Cup does not have the same profile because they're not playing in it.
Mm.
And it just, it's such a crowded landscape. It's so hard to get, you know, that moment. And here is one of the greatest World Cups being played, and the United States not being in it really hurts it in that country.
In the States. But this is the thing about the power of soccer, is that they don't care about the United States.
I know they don't.
They don't need the United States.
But I think it's good for soccer if the United States is good at it and people like it.
I think why does it need any help?
It's the most powerful.
That's the thing I just don't see.
Well, but the world's number one economy getting behind it.
Right, but if you have every other economy that is obsessed with it, you're in a pretty good spot.
You are.
Like, I'm not worried about the finances of FIFA.
I'm not either. I guess just for the sake of the sport, for the sake of MLS, for the sake of development of players, I think it's an opportunity missed. If you love soccer and you want countries to do well at it, it's an opportunity missed. So young people, a 5-year-old isn't watching that and saying, I want to be the next Mbappe.